Today's reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 to 12. This can be found on page 177 of the Pew Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 to 12. And this passage talks about the death of Moses. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb and the plain that is the valley of Jericho to the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning we come to the end of our short series on these words. These words of God which are recorded for us in the book of Deuteronomy. In the company of the people of Israel, we have stood with them before Moses and heard these words of love and grace preached again to us. We have been invited by God himself to enter into a new covenant relationship with him. God has graciously shown us the details of that relationship so that we might know how to live together with him. With great passion, we have heard our God pleading with us to choose life, to choose to live in covenant with him. All this through his servant Moses. In this last chapter of Deuteronomy, we read of the death of Moses, a turning point in the great story of God saving his people. Moses has been the one through whom God led his people out of Egypt. God, through Moses, brought them through years of wilderness wandering right to the border of the promised land. But now, Moses is dead. We might say, the servant is dead. Long live the servant. So far as Downton Abbey was socially and historically accurate, as we watched the program over the years, we gained an insight into the life and the treatment of servants in our own land just a few decades ago. There were different servants for different things. One for setting out the dinner suit and the evening shirt. Who knew you needed a different shirt for the afternoon and the evening? One to drive the car, one to stand and open the door, one to make the dinner, a different one to serve the dinner. However uncomfortable we might be now with the thought of servants, this was very much part of our community. Indeed, for many, to go into service was thought to be a good opportunity on leaving school. Many servants were very loyal, lifelong loyal, to the households and the families where they served. Servanthood and service are key themes in seeking to understand Moses and understand the life of the disciple of the Lord Jesus. I found it interesting that in the creation account in Genesis chapter 2, there's a verse there that says, "There was no man to work the ground." Now, the word in our English versions translated work is the same Hebrew word which is usually translated serve or servant. And so we could translate the verse that God saw that there was no man to serve the ground. Humanity was in part created by God to service, to serve the land by growing things and working in it. In the Old Testament, slavery was imposed upon people by conquest and war. Service was chosen by people. In this sense, servant is not the same as slave. The key thing is to whom is the service offered? In the Old Testament, service can be offered, as we've just heard, to the land, but also to God, and also to one another. At his death, Moses is described as Moses, the servant of the Lord. As the servant of the Lord, Moses served God. Moses also served the people. Moses has lived as one who serves. And so, this final question for us, as we hear these words from Deuteronomy, will you live to serve the Lord your God? In chapter 34, the focus is not upon the particular work of service which Moses does. Rather, the focus is on the gracious work of the Lord in the life of Moses, which enabled Moses to live as a servant. We see that Moses was sustained by the Lord. In verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed, his vigor unabated. Wouldn't mind living to 120 if your eyes weren't dim and your vigor was unabated. All through his life and service, Moses has been sustained by the Lord. Like a power tool constantly plugged into the mains, the battery always on full charge, Moses was at full power for service all the time because the Lord sustained him. Moses was commanded to go and speak to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Do you remember how many times Moses had to go and speak? Because each time Pharaoh said no. Do you remember how many times the Pharaoh made life harder for the people and they criticized and complained about Moses? How easy it would have been for Moses to throw it all in, to go back to Midian and keep sheep. But time after time, the Lord sustained him. The Lord sustained him with his word, his promise. In his gracious word to Moses, the Lord held him up. In the midst of doing what God had called him to do, God was empowering Moses and strengthening him. One day, the Lord Jesus spoke to a woman at a well. His disciples had gone off to buy food, and when they returned, they were shocked. He was speaking to a strange woman. When she went away, they offered him some food. Do you remember what Jesus said next? "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." The great servant of the Lord is sustained in his service by serving. The work of serving God sustains the people who serve God. This is what Moses learned. This is what Jesus always knew. Perhaps you've chosen life. You heard God pleading with you, and you said, I will choose God. I will choose life. You have a desire within you to serve God and to serve others. You will need to be sustained in that choice, in that service. God will always sustain those who are serving. Visiting a neighbor, sharing in a working team, helping with the Sunday tea rota, speaking of Jesus to a friend. As you serve him, he sustains you. You think you can't do it, but once you start, this experience of God sustaining you will be yours. Will you live to serve the Lord your God? Moses was known by the Lord. Verse 10, there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In the wilderness, the Lord commanded Moses to set up a tent of meeting. And we read of Moses regularly going into this tent of meeting. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. I've never understood why there wasn't a queue of all the people outside this tent of meeting. All you had to do was go inside and you were guaranteed to meet with God. The tent was not only for Moses, but for everyone. The possibility of meeting with God was not reserved for some special saint. Moses was known by God. God knew Moses. He knew what he could ask him to do. He knew what help he would need. Moses was known by God. At the transfiguration of the greater servant of the Lord, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The voice of God speaking from heaven, telling those who could hear that he knew Jesus. All through his service, the Lord Jesus was known by God. Dear friends, be encouraged. As you serve God, as you live as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you are known by God. Perhaps you can think of someone you know, they might even be sitting here today, a disciple of Jesus, and you recognize that the Lord knows them. There's nothing special about them. Their experience of being known by God can be your experience. The tent of meeting is the way. Moses went regularly to meet with God. Are you regularly meeting with God? Whenever you pray, you meet with God. Whenever you read your Bible, you meet with God. Whenever you gather for worship, you meet with God. Whenever we gather together for prayer, we meet with God. Whenever you serve, God meets with you in your service. Are you meeting with God? You can do this. You can meet with God, and God will know you. He will know you as you serve him. Will you live to serve the Lord your God? Down in verse 11. There was none like Moses for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and to all the land. Well, we're Church of Scotland Presbyterians, and eventually we had to get round to the burning bush. Now, God did not appear to Moses at the burning bush just to give us a nice emblem for the Church of Scotland. God appeared to Moses at the burning bush and said, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." God appeared to Moses at the burning bush so he could send him. I wonder if we've ever thought that our denomination bears an emblem, the burning bush, that speaks of being sent by God for service to others. In his Nazareth sermon, the greatest servant of the Lord told the congregation there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives." Moses was sent. The Lord Jesus was sent. The word apostle means one who is sent. As a disciple of the Lord Jesus, one who chooses life, you will be sent to serve. The grace of God will come into the life of your neighbor, your family, your workplace, when you serve him. The love of God is made real in the life of the one who is frightened, who is weeping, who is heartbroken, when you answer God's call to service and sit beside them. God calls you to serve so that he may send you to others, so that they might be blessed through your service. Today, God is calling you to serve him. He wants to send you. Will you live to serve the Lord your God? But in our chapter, Moses dies. Is the Lord then without a servant? By no means. Over many years, Joshua has been prepared by God to take the mantle from Moses. The servant is dead, long live the servant. Joshua is now the servant of the Lord. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the Spirit of wisdom. The gift of the Holy Spirit of God is given by God to the servant of the Lord to enable him to serve. In the Gospels, we read often of the Lord Jesus being filled by the Holy Spirit for his service as the servant of the Lord. The Lord has never left himself without a servant. The Lord has never left himself without filling someone with his Spirit to serve his people. Each day is a Pentecost day. God is continually pouring out his Holy Spirit upon his people for service. This is your life as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, as one who serves the Lord. Paul describes for us the things that being filled with the Holy Spirit will produce, what will grow in our life as God fills us with his Spirit for service. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, self-control. This is what the life of the servant looks like. Loving someone else enough to share the good news of Jesus with them. Being kind enough to do what needs to be done, even if no one else notices. Living with such self-control as to restrain your angry outbursts, even if you think they are justified. Today, the Lord is looking for servants who will be filled by the Holy Spirit, who will live such fruitful lives of service for him. Will you live to serve the Lord your God? There is no better life. To live with open hands in the service of your God, to live with hands which get dirty in his service, to live with hands which hold another hand in his service. There is no better life. The purpose of this book of Deuteronomy is that you should choose life. This is the life you are to choose. A life following Jesus as Lord. A life lived in service of others. A life in which you can be known as the servant of the Lord. If you want to live a life which counts, a life which makes a difference, a life which is worth living, choose this life. Will you live to serve the Lord your God? Let's pray together. Father, we are amazed that you would want us as your servants. We feel so helpless, so unable. And so we depend upon your sustaining, upon your filling with the Spirit. Strengthen us for service. We trust that you know us and that you have prepared such works of service for us as we are able for. In all humility, Father, we do ask that you would send us. Send us as your servants, that we might be your blessing to those around us. We will serve you, the Lord our God, in Jesus' name and by the power of his Spirit. Amen.